This week's Parsha is Parshas Nitzavim Vayelach, but we will concentrate on chapter 30 of Parshas Nitzavim, where the Pasuk there tells about you repenting, and also we're going to go to chapter 30, Pasuk 11. The Pasuk on chapter 30, Pasuk number 1. V'hayu ki yavoyu aleichu kol ha'dvarim ho'ela bracha v'klala asher nosati lefanecha. It will be then all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse that I have presented before you. Then you will take into your heart among all the nations where Hashem your God has dispersed you. The Orachaim HaKadosh notes that the Pasuk says that you are going to repent because the blessing and the curse are going to come upon you. The Pasuk should just say that the curses will come upon you and then you will repent. The Orachaim HaKadosh explains that a person may not know that his life is supposed to be good. Therefore, if the curses only come, he may think that that is the way of life, that that is what was predestined to this person, has nothing to do with his action, and he may not decide to repent just from the fact that he is getting the curses. And in the same way, if a person gets only blessings, normally the person is not motivated to do tshuva, to repent, because he doesn't see any effect of his sins. Since Hashem continues to bestow blessings on him, he ends up thinking that his blessings are independent of his deeds. But now that he has the bracha, he has the blessing first, and then he gets the klala, then he gets the curse, he starts to think, what change? What behavior changed from the time I got the blessing till the time I got the curse? It must be that I did something wrong. Therefore, the Torah is telling you that when you get the blessing and the curse, then you're going to realize that you did something wrong. And at that moment, what is written in Pasuk number 2, that you're going to repent to Hashem, will come into effect. But unless you have a blessing and then you see later on that you have a curse and you realize there was a change from the status quo, that obviously you are not behaving properly and Hashem is giving you hints in order for you to right your ways, then you will not do tshuva, you will not repent. So the Torah is telling you on a normal way that a person decides to do tshuva is it first sees the blessing and then sees his curse, because at that point he's for sure going to do tshuva because he's going to realize that there was a change. But when you just get blessings or you just get curses, it's harder to realize that you have to do tshuva, you have to repent. Therefore, the Torah tells you that the blessings and the curse will come, then you're going to realize through the change from blessing to curse that you're required to repent. Other Mefarshim explain that when it's mentioned a bracha v'aklala, the blessing and the curse, means to say that you are going to get the curse while somebody else is getting the blessing. Meaning that if everybody has the curse, then you believe it's a Makas Medina, you believe that Hashem is angry at the people, and you believe that it is not your action that is causing the punishment, it's somebody else's in the group that is causing the punishment. But since Hashem is angry at the group and you are part of the group, therefore you are punished together with the group. In a way, what Mefarshim bring down, that Tzoros Rabim Chotzi Nechama, that when a lot of people have trouble, that's a half a consolation, meaning, let's say there is a depression and you're looking for a job, but since there are no jobs to be had, nobody has a job, then you get consoled that you are part of the group, and if you can't find a job, then you hold yourself blameless, and you end up believing that it is not your fault. It so happens that nobody could get jobs and you are part of that group. The fact that people around you can't get jobs either, that serves to you as a consolation, and you hold yourself blameless and you believe that it's just circumstances that you can't find a job. But if everybody has jobs and it's easy to get a job and you can't get a job, then you realize there must be something you're doing wrong. In the same way here, that since everybody gets punished, then you think that you are part of the group and you are punished together with the group. But let's say everybody else gets the blessing and you get the curse, then you must realize there must be something you're doing wrong, that you are of the few that Hashem decided to give his curse upon. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that for you to realize, to do tshuva, has to come habracha. Hashem has to send brachas to somebody else, to other people, and klala to you, and a curse to you, that you're going to see that somebody else is having everything go his way, and only you are the one that's being punished. Then you're going to realize there must be something that you are doing different than everybody else, and at that point, you are going to repent. But had you see only klala, only curses for everybody, then you wouldn't come to that conclusion, because you believe that this is the times, this is what's happening now. But now that you see that some are getting blessings and you are getting cursed, then you are going to come to repent. Going back to our topic, the apostle continues and says that after you will see that the blessing and the curses came upon you, then you are going to take into your heart what's happening to you. On pasuk number 2 continues, V'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, you are going to return unto Hashem your God, V'shomato bekoilo, you're going to listen to his voice, K'choil asher anochi metzavcha hayom, according to everything I command you today, ato vanecha, you and your children, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and all your soul, meaning that here we are mentioning that you are going to repent and you are going to return into Hashem. And if you return to Hashem, then v'shav Hashem elokecha shavuzcha, Hashem will bring back your captivity, v'richamecha, and he'll have mercy on you, v'shav v'kibetzcha mikoloamim, he'll gather you from all the nations that he spread you out, and further on, all the good things that Hashem is going to do to you. But everything has to start with v'shavto ad Hashem elokecha, that you'll return into Hashem. That by you repenting, that will trigger everything, all the good coming back to you, as the pasuk continues until pasuk number 11. The Nachal Kadumim from the Chidah makes an interesting observation, and he says that the word v'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, the word you should return, is the same letters as v'shabas. That v'shavto is written vav shin veis tov, and v'shabat are also exactly the same letters. Vav Shin Veis Tav. The Chidah says that the Torah is hinting that the proper observance of Shabbat, the proper keeping of the mitzvahs of Shabbat, is a trigger for you to repent on all other mitzvahs. That if you keep properly Shabbat, the Shabbat becomes a springboard for tshuva. It could be that since on Shabbos we are known to receive a neshama yesera, an extra soul, and that extra soul that we get lives on Motzei Shabbat, according to Rabbi Avadia Yosef and the Arizal, after Chatzos, after midnight on Saturday night, and comes back on Friday night, comes out that that soul isn't as contaminated as the soul that you have during the week, because the sins you did during the week, it did not blemish that soul that you get on Shabbos. Therefore, the soul that you get on Shabbos is much purer than the soul that you have during the week. That extra soul, that extra holiness, springboards you to do tshuva, gives you awakening, gives you this extra vitality that causes you to do tshuva, because that soul comes from a holy source, and that holiness will springboard you to do tshuva. As a matter of fact, this is what Sefer Leket Yosher, Chelik Aleph, Amud Kaf Yud Ches in Yom Beis, explains in the name of Rav Shlomo Shapiro Zatzal, that a person should learn on Shabbos because he has a neshama yisera, he has the extra soul, and he explains that afilu amoritz, that even a person that is ignoramus, sheinu yodea likro b'sefer, he doesn't even know how to read a book, mikol mokoim, anyways, toiv sheyire b'sefer, he should just look into the book. Why? Mishum de be'oyser sha lo'ichata, because since he gets the extra soul that means that he did not sin. Vegama machshava mitztarfo lemaase, and since he's looking and he doesn't know how to read, but he wants to understand, Hashem already joins his thought as it would have been an action, meaning that he's wanting to learn Hashem views as he actually learned. And therefore, Sefer Leket Yosher says that on Shabbos, before Rosh Hashanah, a person should be very careful to learn and look in Sforim on that Shabbos, because that Neshama Yesera that he receives will springboard him to be able to repent. And according to the Zohar, Rayo Mehemna, Vayikra, Parsha Sav, Daf Chavtes, Amud Aleph, there the Zohar explains that the Neshama Yesera comes from the emanation of Bina, of understanding, and could be that that Bina, that extra understanding that you get on Shabbat because of that Neshama Yesera, that will make you understand the error of your ways, and you will come to repent and serve Hashem properly because of that Neshama Yesera, that extra Bina that you get on Shabbat. And that could be the reason why we see in actuality that when a person is starting to return to Hashem, the Shabbos experience is normally what triggers him, what compels him to continue in his return, in his coming back to serve Hashem. And that could be interpretation in the Medrash Rabbah on Bereishis, Perik Chav Beis, Yud Gimel. The Medrash is going on chapter 4 of Bereishis, Pasuk number 16, where it says, Vayetze Kain Mifnei Hashem, Kain went out from in front of Hashem. The Medrash says, what does it mean, Kain went out in front of Hashem? The Medrash says, Vayetze Kain, Rab Chama, B'Shem Rab Chanine Barav Yitzchak, Rab Chama, in name of Rab Chanine Barav Yitzchak, says, Yotza Sameach, that he came out happy. The same way we see in Shmos number 4, verse 14, where Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vegam hinehu yoytze likrasecha, that Aharon is going out to meet you, veroacha, and he'll see you, v'samach b'liboy, and he'll be happy. So we see there it's written, yoytze is coming out, and he'll be happy. So too here, when it's written that Cain went out happy. The Medrash continues, Paga boy Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon found Cain, and he saw Cain, oh smiley, oh happy. Omale, Adam Arishon asks Cain, Ma nase bedincha, what happened in your trial? Meaning that Adam Arishon saw Cain coming out of his court date because he killed Hevel. Then Adam is asking, if you are smiling so much, something good must have happened. What happened in your trial? Omale, Cain tells him, Osisi tshuva, I did tshuva, I repented, venis pasharti, and we're able to mediate. Hashem was able to take away some of my punishment because of the repentance I did. Hischil Adam Arishon et apeach al ponav. Adam Arishon started clapping on his face. Omar, he says, Kachi koicho shel tshuva, v'ani lo yis yodea. The power of tshuva is so great, and I didn't know. Miyad Amad Adam Arishon. Right away, Adam Arishon stood up and he composed Psalm 92, which is Mizmoy Shir Leyoim HaShabbos, a song for the Shabbos day. Meforshim are bothered what connection is the song for the Shabbos day to Adam Arishon realizing that there is a concept of repentance. Meforshim explain that it's talking about the next pasuk, pasuk number 2, where pasuk number 2 says, Toiv lohoidois l'Hashem ulezamer l'shimcho elyon, which is normally translated, it's good to thank Hashem and to sing praise for His name. But the word lohoidois, it could be to sing praise, but it could also be to admit to Hashem. According to this medrash, the interpretation the Mefarshim want to say that after Adam Arishon found out that the repentance works, then he's saying it's good to admit to Hashem. Toiv lohoidois l'Hashem means it's good to admit to Hashem your sins. And Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbat doesn't mean a song for the Shabbos day, the Shabbos that comes every week. It means Mizmo Yishir Leyom Shekulo Shabbos, a song for the everlasting Shabbos, which means the days after the resurrection of the dead, after the coming of the Moshiach. And by you repenting, you'll be able to have a greater position in the everlasting life. That's a normal interpretation. But this interpretation is still questionable. Why doesn't the Medrash bring down the second part of the Pasuk, which is the main part, Toiv lo hoidois Lashem, that the tshuva part is only written by it's good to admit to Hashem? That is what the Medrash should have stressed, not the first sentence, Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos. But according to this that we see, that Shabbos is the springboard for tshuva, then could be that Adam HaRishon is singing Mizmo Yishir Leyom HaShabbos. Now I gotta be very careful for the Shabbos day, because the Shabbos day is the one that's going to trigger me to toiv lo hoidos Hashem, to do tshuva, to admit to Hashem. According to the Nachal Kadumim, which Nachal Kadumim explains that Shabbos is the same word as tshuva, and Shabbos is the springboard for you to do tshuva, then we understand why Adam HaRishon, after he found out the power of tshuva, he sang a song for the Shabbos day, because the Shabbos day is the springboard for a person to do tshuva. Adam HaRishon is thanking Hashem for giving the Shabbos day, where the Shabbos day sends him on a Shama Yeseira, the extra soul, where that extra soul gives him the impetus and gives him the springboard to do tshuva. Therefore, he decided to sing a praise for the Shabbos day. Now that we're mentioning about tshuva, there is a famous machloikes between the Ramban and the Rambam, between Nachmanides and Maimonides, if there is a mitzvah of the Torah to do tshuva or not. Is there a mitzvah to repent or not? According to the Ramban, there is a mitzvah to repent, and the Ramban's source is on this week's parsha, on Pasuk number 11, because after we are enumerating all the things that's going to happen when you repent, it's written on Pasuk number 10, Kisishma bekoil Hashem Elokecho, Hashem will give you all the goodness again when you listen to the words of Hashem, Lishmor mitzvoisav, to observe His commandments, vechukoisav, and His decrees, haksuva b'sefer haTorah hazeh, that is written on this Torah, kisoshuv al Hashem Elokecho, because you should return into Hashem, bechol levavcho, with all your heart, uvechol nafshecho, and all your soul. And now the next pasuk, what it is going to be referring, that is going to be the machloikas between the Ramban, Nachmanides, and the Rambam and Maimonides. The next pasuk says, Ki ha-mitzvah hazois, asher anochi metzavcha hayom, because this commandment that I'm commanding you today, lo nifleis hi mimcha, it's not covered up from you, v'lo rechoyko hi, it's not very far. What mitzvah hazois are we referring? What this mitzvah are we referring? According to the Ramban, since the last thing that we mentioned is the repentance, obviously when the Torah is saying ki a mitzvah hazois, that this mitzvah is not covered up, it's not hidden, and it's not far, it's referring to the mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah of repentance, because that is what we just finished saying, that when you repent to Hashem, and afterwards it says that this mitzvah must be referring to the mitzvah of tshuva, we see clearly according to this that to repent is a mitzvah. But the Rambam Maimonides holds that it cannot be a mitzvah to repent, because if I say that there is a mitzvah to repent, then obviously there is a mitzvah to sin. We cannot have repentance unless we have a sin. So how can we say there is a mitzvah to sin? Obviously, the Torah is telling you only if you already transgressed, you should fix it and repent. In the same way that the Torah tells you that you are required to write a bill of divorce, it doesn't mean to say that you are required to go ahead and divorce a person. You are required, when you want to give a person a divorce, you are required to follow the procedure and give her the bill of divorce, but you have no mitzvah to go ahead and divorce. Therefore, the Rambam says that Ki HaMitzvah Hazois cannot be referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. It's referring to the passage that says before that you're going to keep all the mitzvahs written in this Torah. On that it's written HaMitzvah Hazois. The mitzvahs of this Torah are not very far. But it's not saying that the mitzvah of repentance is not very far. It means that all the mitzvahs that Hashem gave in this Torah, don't think it's impossible for you to keep. It's hidden from you. You don't know how to do it, and it's too far away from you to keep it. The Torah is telling you that those mitzvahs are easy, accessible to you. But it's not referring to the mitzvah of repentance. The Chiddush Orim says that according to the Ramban, according to Nachmanides, that counts tshuva, repentance, as one of the mitzvah, and in a way it seems to imply that we do have a mitzvah to sin, he says we could understand very well a Mishnah in Yuma, Daf Pehei Omed Beis. The Mishnah there says that Oimer Echtov Oshuv, a person says, I will sin and I'll repent, and he is doing the sin because he knows later on he could repent. Give him the opportunity to do tshuva, to repent. And then the Gemara says, if a person says, I will sin and Yom Kippur is going to atone, the day of Yom Kippur atones for certain sins, and the person says, I will go ahead and sin since I know Yom Kippur is coming, and that day will automatically atone for my sins. The Gemara says, in this case, Ein Yom HaKippur Machaper, that Yom Kippur does not atone for his sins. That if he relied on Yom Kippur to get atonement before he sinned, and that's the reason he sinned, then Yom Kippur does not serve as atonement for his sins. The Chiddush Orim asks, how come in the first part of the Mishnah, in the beginning it says, Echto ve'oshuv, I will sin and I will repent. Echto ve'oshuv, I will sin and I will repent. The Mishnah seems to say that only if I said twice, I will sin and I repent, I will sin and I repent, then I'm a repeat offender and I did that gimmick that I will sin and repent twice, then we don't give him the opportunity to repent. But if he just would say one time, Echto ve'ashuv, I will sin and I'll repent, then the Mishnah seems to imply that we give him the opportunity to repent. And yet, the next step where it says, Echto ve'yom ha'kippurim ha'chaper, I will sin and Yom Kippur will atone, there the Mishnah doesn't say, Echto ve'yom ha'kippurim ha'chaper, Echto ve'yom ha'kippurim ha'chaper. It doesn't say twice, I will sin and Yom Kippur will atone, I will sin, and Yom Kippur will atone. Why here it requires to have twice before you are not given the opportunity to do tshuva, and Yom Kippur, by just saying once, already Yom Kippur doesn't atone. He explains, based on this Ramban, that since the Ramban counts tshuva as a mitzvah, that means, according to the Ramban, there may be a mitzvah to do a sin, because you cannot perform the mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah of repentance, unless you sin. Since there may be a mitzvah to sin, when a person says, Echto ve'oshuv, I will sin and I'll repent, he says it only the first time, then we may think that this person is such a pious person, that this person wants to keep the 630 mitzvahs, and since he knows that the only way to make the mitzvah of repentance is if he sins, we'll assume that his intention by saying Echtov Oshuv one time, I will sin or repent, was L'shem Shomayim, was for heaven's sake. And if it was for heaven's sake, he still has a chance to repent. He technically didn't do anything wrong because we assume that he wanted to make the mitzvah of tshuva. But once he says it twice, then the second time that he says, Echto ve'oshuv, I will sin or repent, he doesn't have an excuse anymore because he already performed the mitzvah of tshuva. He can't say that he's sinning only because he wants to repent. By the second time, he already performed the mitzvah of tshuva, of repentance, and now he's sinning only because he wants to sin, not to make the mitzvah, because the mitzvah was already performed. If that is so, then we do not give him to do tshuva. But by Yom Kippur, there is no excuse to sin on Yom Kippur, to sin and Yom Kippur will atone. Anyways, you're not supposed to sin for Yom Kippur to atone. You're not planning to doing tshuva. Therefore, sinning by itself is already wrong. There is no excuse for you to do that. Therefore, by Yom Kippur, even the first time, Yom Kippur already doesn't atone because you have no excuse for sinning. By tshuva, by repentance, since according to the Ramban, it is a mitzvah, then you could always have an excuse for sinning because you could say, I wanted to sin because I wanted to make the mitzvah of repentance. But by Yom Kippur, since there is no mitzvah of repentance, therefore there is no mitzvah to sin. And therefore, even one time, Yom Kippur does not atone anymore. Sefer Koivetz Kerem Shloime explains if this Ramban, the Gemara, in Brachos Daf Yutes Amud Aleph 19a, the Gemara there says, Ton Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, it was learned in the academy of Rabbi Shmuel. Im ro'isa tamid chacham sh'ovar avere balayla, if you see a Torah scholar commit a transgression by night, al te'harer achrav bayoim, you shouldn't think about him by day, in other words, harbor no ill thoughts of him by day, shema osa tshuva, perhaps he has repented. The normal interpretation is that since a person is not supposed to go to sleep without making sure that his day went properly, and obviously he's a Torah scholar and at night he's going to make a cheshbon nefesh, he's going to make a counting of his soul to see what he did wrong, what he didn't do wrong, he'll realize what he did wrong and he'll repent. Therefore, if you see him by day, don't hold ill thoughts about him, because maybe he repented. Since at night he had to go through his accounting, he probably repented. So Gemara asked a question, Shemo sal kadatach? You think maybe he'll do tshuva? Elovada yosa tshuva? For sure he has repented. So the Gemara comes to say that we are sure that this person has repented. So Sefer Kerem Shloim explains that according to this Ramban, that the Ramban views as a mitzvah to do tshuva, then obviously it must be a mitzvah to sin. And since we have a Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph, chapter 1, Mishnah Vav, Mishnah 6, which says that Yeshu ben Parachia Oimer, Yeshu ben Parachia says, Vehevet dan es kol odom lekav schus, that we're required to judge every person favorably. In other words, we're required to bend over backwards to make sure that you judge somebody fairly. Therefore, what he means to say is that if you see a Talmid Chacham sinning, don't think that he is sinning because he's giving in to his evil inclination and he wants to sin, to transgress Hashem. He is sinning because he wants to make the mitzvah of tshuva, because we have to assume that he wants to make the mitzvah of repentance. Because since we see, according to the Ramban, that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva, there's a mitzvah to repent, and this person desires to make the 630 mitzvahs, and it's impossible for this Talmid Chacham, for this Torah scholar, to make the mitzvah of tshuva, the mitzvah of repentance, unless he sins, then if you see a Talmid Chacham, a Torah scholar, sinning, then you have to assume the best of him. You have to assume that he is doing it only because he wants to make the mitzvah of repentance. Therefore, you don't think ill thoughts about him by day, because for sure he did tshuva. We have to assume that this is the reason that he sinned. He only sinned in order to repent. Sefer Pardas Yosef adds that this could be the idea behind on Parshas Korach, where Moshe Rabbeinu, after he heard the mutiny of the people, he says on chapter 16, pasuk number 5, Vaydaber el Korach v'kol ados leimor, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Korach and the whole congregation, saying, Boiker, in the morning, v'yoida Hashem es Hasheloi, and Hashem will make known who is to him. why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to wait for the morning? He explains that based in this Gemara, the Gemara says that if you see a Talmid Chacham sinning, then we know for sure the next morning that he'll do tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to wait till morning in order for them to do tshuva. Or, according to what we just mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu was suspecting maybe they're only sinning because they want to make the mitzvah of tshuva. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't want to act now against you, because maybe your whole reason for doing this is in order for you to be able to make the mitzvah of repentance. Therefore, I'll wait till morning and see if you repented by then. If you didn't repent by then I know your intentions were not pure. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be done lekaf schus. Therefore, he says, since we know for sure that you are going to repent, then I'll rather wait till morning, where the whole problem will go away automatically. My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Zriel Yehuda Leibovich, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Vilna Rav, uses this Ramban that says there is a mitzvah to do tshuva, and the only way to repent is if you do a sin, to answer a couple different medrashim. First, we have an interesting medrash on Parshas Vayeshev, where it's mentioned that Reuven was coming back to the pit, that Reuven was not present by the sale of Yosef, that is on Bereishis chapter 37, Pasuk 29. The question that the Medrash asks is, where was Reuven? The Medrash answers in the name of Rabbi Elezer that he was busy besakoi vetanisoi, he was busy with his sack and fast, meaning that he was fasting and he was repenting for something he did wrong previously. What did he do wrong previously? The story is in Bereishis chapter 35, Pasuk number 22, where either he moved the bed of Yaakov from the tent of Bila to the tent of Leah, or literally he had relations with Bila, the concubine of his father. So the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Pei Dalet, explains that Omar lo Yakudosh Baruch Hu, Hashem told Reuven, Mo'olam lechot odom lefonai, ve'aso tshuva, that nobody ever sinned in front of me and repented. Ve'ato potachto b'tshuva tchilo, and you started with tshuva first. Chayecho, I swear to you, sheben bincho oimet poisech b'tshuva tchilo, that your grandson, Hosea, is going to start saying tshuva first, as it's written on chapter 14 of Hosea, Shuvo Israel ad Hashem lokecho, repent O Israel until Hashem. Basically, the Medrash is saying that since Reuven is the first person to do tshuva, therefore Hosea is going to be the first one that's going to prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva. The first question that we have is that we mentioned before, even in this year, that Adam HaRishon came to Cain and asked him what happened in his trial. And Cain says, I did tshuva, v'nis pashartia, I did tshuva, and we mediated, Hashem delayed my punishment. And then we said that Adam HaRishon says that so is the strength of tshuva, and I didn't know, and he started saying Mizbe Shilim HaShabbos. So we know that Adam HaRishon and Cain, both of them did tshuva. Then what does it mean, Reuven, you are the one who did tshuva first? And the other question he asks, what does it mean, v'ato potachto b'tshuva tchila, you started with tshuva first? He should have said, v'ato potachto b'tshuva, you started doing tshuva. What does it mean, you started b'tshuva tchila, doing tshuva? And then he brings the pasuk that we mentioned about the sin of Reuven, and that is in chapter 35, pasuk number 22. The pasuk says, v'hi bishkoin Yisrael bo eretz ahi, it was when Israel, referring to Yaakov, dwelt in that land. Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went, Vayishkav es Bila Pileges Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father, which the Talmud takes it not to mean literally lay, just that he moved the bed from Yaakov, from the tent of Bila, to the tent of Leah, and that is tantamount of him laying with her. Vayishma Israel, and Israel heard, and right afterwards it says, Vayu v'nei Yaakov shnei Moser, and the children of Yaakov were 12. So he asks numerous questions. First, why is it written, Vayibishkon Yisrael ba'oretz ahi, that Israel was in that land? What difference does it make to the story where Israel was when Reuven moved the bed? We know it happened after the death of Rachel, because until Rachel's death, the bed was in the tent of Rachel, and now that Rachel died, Yaakov put his bed in the tent of Bila, then we know that they were already in Eretz Yisrael. Then why is the Torah stressing that Israel was in that land, meaning in Eretz Yisrael? Second question he asks, why is it written Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav as Bila? Reuven went and left Bila. He should have just said when Israel was in that land and Reuven lay with Bila. What does it mean Vayelech Reuven and Reuven went? And third question is that after he lay, he should have written Vayishma Yaakov. Yaakov heard. The whole pasuk is going with the lofty name of Israel. Jacob has two names. One is a lofty name, Israel, and the other, when we don't act in such a lofty way, we are called Jacob, Yaakov. Then why in this pasuk the Torah seems to stress that in both cases, before he lay, he was Israel in a high level, and after he lay, Vayishma Israel, and Israel heard. After the sin, it should have been written, and Jacob heard, and not, and Israel heard. The Vinarov answers that based on the Ramban, on Bereishis, chapter 26, Pasuk number Hey, where the Ramban brings the idea that our forefathers kept Torah, but they only kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael. They did not keep Torah chutz la'aretz, outside the land of Israel. And the Ramban explains that's why Yaakov Avinu was able to marry two sisters, even though the Torah prohibits it. And also he says that that is the reason why Rachel had to die on the way, since she was the illegal sister, because she was the wife's sister, and that is illegal according to Torah law. Therefore, when Yaakov Avinu came into the land of Israel, Rachel had to die. Comes out that our forefathers were only required to keep Torah in Eretz Israel. He explains that that is what Reuven wanted to do. Reuven held, like the other Ramban, that one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is tshuva, is repentance, and in order to make the mitzvah of repentance, you are required to sin. It's impossible for you to repent unless you sin. Then Reuven, because Reuven was in Eretz Yisrael, Reuven decided to make a sin in order for him to repent. Therefore, the Vinarov says, the Torah stresses, Vahi bishkoin Yisrael be'eretz ahi, that it was when Israel was in that land, meaning only because they were in the land of Israel, where it's binding for our forefathers to keep the mitzvahs. Therefore, Reuven decided to make this action, because Reuven desired to make the extra mitzvah of tshuva, of repentance. Therefore, it's written the name Israel, because it's a lofty name, it's a name that you want to keep the mitzvahs. And he says, it's written, Vayelech Reuven, Reuven went, and the language Vayelech is merames, is hinting to tshuva, as it's written in Hosea chapter 6, pasuk number 1, Lechu v'nashuv al Hashem, let's go and return to Hashem. Therefore it's written, Vayelech Reuven, that Reuven wanted to go, meaning according to the Vinarov, that he wanted to go and do tshuva, as going there means repenting, here going means also repenting. I wanted to expand and explain that the pasuk in Zechariah, chapter 3, pasuk number 7, there Hashem is telling, Koyomar Hashem Tzevois, Hashem says, Im bidrochai telech, if you're going to walk in my ways, Vesvishparti Tishmoy, and you'll safeguard my charge, Vegam ato todin es beisi, then you should administer my house, Vegam Tishmoy es chatzeroi, and you should safeguard my courtyards. Venusati lo mahalchim, I will permit you movement or walking. Beinoim dimoile, among these immobile angels. Which means to say that if you keep the Torah, Hashem considers us walking among the angels. Where the angels are considered standing, we are considered walking. because we could go from level to level. We could go up in a higher level through the performance of mitzvahs and getting close to Hashem, where the angels, they stay stationary wherever they are. So we see that whenever we say Vayelech, that we are walking, that means we are going up from level to level. Therefore, here where it says Vayelech Reuven, that Reuven went, the Torah wants to stress not just Vayishkav Reuven, that Reuven lay with Bila. The Torah wants to stress that the whole reason of laying with Bila was Vayelech Reuven, that Reuven decided to go up, that he went from level to level. He was going to perform the mitzvah of tshuva, to perform the mitzvah of repentance. Therefore, Vayishkav as Bila, Pilegeshov, if therefore he lay with Bila, he made the sin because he wanted to make the mitzvah. And what is written right afterwards? It's written, Vayishma Israel. Israel heard, meaning that Yaakov understood the intent of Reuven. Because hearing a lot of times means hearing, but a lot of times hearing means understanding. As when I say, I hear what you say, which means I understand what you mean. And here, Vayishma Israel, means that Israel understood. Means that Yaakov understood that Reuven wants to perform a mitzvah. He understood that this sin came from the desire of being in a higher level. Therefore, Yaakov didn't say anything because Yaakov understood that this sin is for the purpose of the mitzvah of tshuva, of the mitzvah of repentance. And according to this, we could understand the medrash that we started, that Reuven was coming back to the pit. Where was Reuven? Reuven was doing his sackcloth. Now Hashem says, Reuven, ato potachto b'tshuva tchila. You started doing tshuva first. Our question was, wait, other people did tshuva. And the other question was, what does it mean you started doing tshuva first? But according to this, it is very good. Because Reuven, before he sinned, he actually did tshuva. He wanted to sin only because he wanted to repent. Therefore Hashem says, ato potachto b'tshuva tchila. You are the one who started doing tshuva first. Even before the sin, you started doing tshuva. Your whole intention for sinning was in order to repent. Therefore, since your intention was in order to repent, I will give you the reward that Hosea is going to prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva. Ah, we ask a question. We see that Adam and Cain did tshuva. Yes, they did tshuva because they sinned and they repented. But they never sinned because they wanted to repent. But you, Reuven, you wanted to sin because you wanted to repent. Therefore, I will give you this reward that your grandson, Hosea, is going to be the first one that's going to prompt the Jewish people to do tshuva. And Hashem Yisborach should help that this week that we are discussing repentance and we are coming close to Rosh Hashanah, where our fate for the year is going to be written, that we all should repent and we all should learn Torah on Shabbos specifically, that we should be extra careful in keeping and honoring this Shabbos, and the holiness of Shabbos should enhance our repentance, and we should all merit to be inscribed in the book of life. We should have a sweet and good year. Hashem should give everybody what he desires, what he needs. Hashem should give Shalom al Israel, peace upon the Jewish nation, and we should all be united as one. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, Bimheira Beyomeinu, Amen.